Good morning.
Good morning.
So I have some announcements, which I will go through. Next Saturday, the 26th, is a one-day retreat. Ms. Donia will talk about it a little bit more in a minute. And in February, we have February 3rd, is Donia's Dharma Talk. Then Sunday, February 10th, is the Nehan celebration. Earlier, I'm amplified now, right? And Saturday the 26th is the term student. Oh, the Nehan celebration is also the children's program day, so they get to contribute or help with that. And then term student begins again on February 16th, Saturday.
The retreat on Saturday, we have about 10 signups. Only one person signed up to do Mondo so far, so don't be shy. So what we're going to do at this retreat, you're welcome to come for part of it if you want, as usual. The schedule was in, there's a link to it in the newsletter. It's also on the website. Just in silent, we sit and we have an informal lunch together. You bring your lunch, but then we do a meal service, silent work period, that kind of thing. Then in the afternoon, about 3:30, we're going to do Mondo practice, which is where we're all studying the same text, which is Faith and Mind, which we recite on Tuesdays sometimes. And so there's also a link to it in the newsletter. And we study that text, and then people who have participated in this practice, this ceremony before, can, if they want, choose a verse within there that they resonate with somehow, that they feel some sense of insight into, connection to, that they've maybe struggled with. And then they present that verse to the group and take questions. So it's kind of a formal question and answer set up, which is very interesting, because it's like you're not saying, whoever, forget who wrote Faith and Mind, but you're not saying, oh yes, this is the ultimate Dharma, I knew what so-and-so meant when they wrote this, but when I read this, this is what I think of. This is the aspect of my practice that this brings out. So that's, you're presenting your own experience and truth through this verse, not ultimate Dharma. But nonetheless, that is kind of how Dharma manifests. And so it's really inspiring to hear the Dharma come out of all of these different people's mouths and experience. So I encourage you to come to the retreat, and if you want to do Mondo, I ask that you come for the whole day so that the people who are participating in Mondo are settled and not just kind of fresh off the street. And please, if you can, let me know by email that you're coming. Just then the shuso and I can help plan work period and just have a sense of. And also, if you're going to offer a Mondo verse, that's helpful for me to know and which verse, and we might correspond a little bit about it. Then, February 16th, that's our term student opening retreat. We're going to do the term student program again, assuming we get enough signups. It's been quite a popular program recently, so I'm pretty confident we will. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, that's actually, this one's going to be like 4 months long, just because the way that the schedule worked out, I couldn't do the closing retreat sooner than that, or would it interfere with Memorial Day? So anyway, it'll be 4 months long, and a beginning retreat, a closing retreat. There's a retreat in the middle that's recommended, that's open to everybody. It's not a term student thing per se. And you you form your own vows for that period of time. And at the opening retreat, we share our vows with each other, and we also share our life stories with each other, and it's a great way to get to know people. So please let me know if you want to participate in that. Yeah?
I have an announcement. And the announcement is that right after Shoketsu's talk, there will be a meeting here for the volunteers that have signed up to help with the our first Bright Ways End fundraiser, which will be a celebration of 10 years of Bright Ways End and a 10 years more success. a fundraiser and hopefully a fundraiser too, but the idea is to celebrate the success of Bright Ways End. So volunteers unite after this, after Shoketsu's talk. It's March 24th. We'll keep you advised.
So maybe I'll just say, I told Frankie I would join that meeting, so I'm probably not going to lunch today at the Market of Choice, but people have gathered and sort of decided if they're going to go and either walk over or drove over, so I'm just mentioning the lunch, but I don't know who might be going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so don't be shy. If you want to do lunch just after, at the end of this, just go lunch anyway.
Yeah. Thank you.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. My name is Shoketsu, for those of you who don't know, and this is my very first Bodhicitta, or Way-Seeking Mind talk. I've been a seeker for as long as I can remember. Going way back in my life, I was raised in a Catholic household. We went to Mass every Sunday. I attended catechism classes and then Catholic school through junior high. I stopped going to church once I left home for college. I felt disconnected from the Catholic doctrine and its fear-based delivery. My father claimed to be a good Catholic because he went to church every Sunday. However, he was cruel to me at home, constantly teasing, ridiculing me, humiliating me every chance he got. He did that a little bit less to my siblings. And over time, I came to hate him, even though I loved him, as the years went on. I came to see the whole church to be at odds with the moral code I was developing, which included compassion, respect, and kindness. So the first Dharma lesson, I'm going to give you three Dharma lessons that I've gotten thus far, is that from that experience, I grew up with extreme self-consciousness. I walked with my head down, rarely spoke up. And years later, when I married an extremely outgoing man, I modeled myself on him to break out of my shell. And I stumbled along speaking out, but with very little finesse at first. I got in trouble a few times. Now, years later, after practicing Zen, I am so much less self-conscious. I still care what people think, but I remain open to whatever that is, rather than imagining that they're laughing at me or they dislike me. I'm less burdened by self-doubt. My first marriage lasted 9 years, and we had our daughter, Sarah, near the end. After my divorce, I took EST, the Erhard Seminar Training, which some of you may have heard of, which helped me shake loose many of the thought constructs I had that were impeding me as I sought to transform my life into this new phase of mother and single parent. Somewhere along the way, I found the goddess Artemis, or Diana, the woman warrior, the archer, who I trusted her to be my protector. I looked to her This was also during I was a feminist, and I was very interested in the feminist movement in the late 70s, or early 70s, excuse me. I also spent 20 years in psychoanalysis, working through my issues, and finally learned how to take responsibility for my own actions. I forgave my father and my mother, from whom I also felt alienated for a period. As a single parent, I felt a desperate need to get a better job to support my daughter. I was a technical writer in the computer industry, and I made decent money. But more than making money, I wanted to understand the business world because I felt at odds it felt at odds with my personal point of view. As an educator and a humanitarian, I had gone to school to be a sociologist, and then I took an education degree. So being a technical writer in high tech was pretty strange for me. So I decided to go to graduate school to get an MBA in the late 80s, like everyone else at the time. I went to an all-women's program in Boston, Simmons College, now Simmons University, while I worked full-time. This left me no time to care for Sarah. I was on my own with no family nearby, so I sent her to Los Angeles to live with her dad, who by that time had moved to LA and had a partner who he would later marry. I reasoned that he was a good, loving father and could offer her a more normal home than I could. Being without her, though, was excruciating for me. But it turns out it took several years. It took me several years to finish the degree. I dropped out for a couple of terms, changed jobs, moved. So Sarah ended up going all through her elementary school out there. As soon as I graduated, she came back to Boston to live with me and my new husband for high school. But she clashed with Jim, my new husband, and missed her dad. So she chose to return to Los Angeles after a year and a half of living with us. I was devastated when she left and visited her whenever I could. Now, my daughter is in her late 30s and lives here, has relocated here from Los Angeles in 2014. She has severe OCD, Asperger's, misophonia, and depression from all those things, all of which limit her ability to function on her own and around others. She has her own apartment in Beaverton and a small support system to help her live independently. She cannot work, so she has no social circle. A few people in her building have befriended her, but she has trouble being with them because eating, drinking, hard sole shoes, some of her issues, her misophonia issues, get in the way. So she needs my support frequently, although I encourage her to solve her own problems, grocery shop on her own. And she's made progress over the years, but still relies on me a lot, particularly when she's triggered in a public place and she gets very upset and she really needs me. So it can be exhausting for me physically and emotionally. I've put a lot of energy into trying to make up for not being there for her when she was younger, into trying to fix her and release her from her mental afflictions. A Dharma lesson two, practice has helped me accept her condition, specifically the three pure precepts: cease from harm, release self-attachment. Do only good, take selfless action, and do good for others. Accept all things and conditions. Being still and focused on the moment at hand calms me and builds a strong inner core from which I can access patience and compassion. I can now relax more when I'm with her, rather than and give her, I'm better at meet her where she is and be fully present with her. I am better able to give her what she needs. I no longer suffer beside her, but bring a clear mind and a calm heart to the situation. Zen Buddhism has been a significant help to me. Sitting Zazen, the precepts, and hours of Sanzen meetings with my teacher. I'll talk about community now. After moving to Oregon in 2000, 1999, where I knew no one, I discovered that I needed to find community. So I joined a humanistic Jewish community with my Jewish husband for several years. It was a very warm and caring group of people, and I made some friends there who I still have to this day. I enjoyed learning about the Jewish culture. We joked that I was a JIT, Jew in training. However, we joined the board of directors, and Jim, who had zero experience with nonprofits at the time, grew impatient with the pace of change and ruffled some feathers. And then he quit the board. And soon after that, he left the community altogether. I stayed for another year because I really liked the people. It was a good group of people. And I felt a real warmth there. But I had joined primarily so my husband and I would have something spiritual together. But it wasn't to be. I'd been interested in Buddhism for years, but didn't know how much about it. I regularly read Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, the Book of the Way. I went to Dharma Rain Center a few times on the east side of Portland, but it was a distance from where I lived. And then I found Domio's West Side Zen Center near my home in 2009. And started attending regularly. I left there some nights with my head about to explode because I felt that I didn't understand anything we had talked about. But something kept me intrigued. The warmth of the people and, of course, Domio. it just kept me coming. And the discipline of just sitting felt right to me. As I stuck with it, relaxed into it, I began to grasp the power of letting go and being open to Dharma. I took the Zen precepts at Jukai, the very first Jukai in 2012, and became a lay disciple in March 2014. And now, in this past year, 2018, I've been Shuso for the Zendo. Making these commitments helped me deepen my practice. Studying and taking the precepts every year at Jukai keeps them in my consciousness so I can live my life with the Dharma. Attending Sesshin, a 5 to 7 day silent retreat a few times a year, is also extremely beneficial. Finally, being Shuso for Bright Way Sangha has been both daunting and a great honor. Dharma lesson 3 is that each of these commitments took great discipline and has led to personal growth, which I've spent my life seeking. Anybody have questions or?
Shuketsu.
Yes.
Bows to you for your courage, compassion, commitment.
Shoketsu, I want to say that the level of openness and non-defensiveness you have in talking about the painful parts of your story was very moving to me. And also the groundedness you have in talking about it.
It's thanks to the Dharma.
For sure. I mean, yeah, I've been able to let go of shame and many of those very uncomfortable experiences I've had and decisions I've made that kind of wish I hadn't made now at the time, but they're in the past and I've thrown it away.
Shuketsu?
Yes.
You like Kanzeon.
What'd you say?
I like Kanzeon.
You are like her.
Boy, thank you.
Because the way you describe being with your daughter, when you talked about Dharma 2, your lesson, she does that. She doesn't, well, I don't know if she suffers with us, but she's definitely grounded in there for us. That's what you said. You don't suffer with her, but you're there for her.
Right.
I think that's what Kanzeon does, so I think that's what you are.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I try not to suffer with her. It took a long time to
hard.
Get there where, I wouldn't get pulled into
what a gift for your daughter.
Her pain. But and it's made a difference with her.
Yeah.
She's been able to grow more.
Shoketsu.
Yes.
I want you to know that I have felt so comfortable with you being Shosu, and I've appreciated your steadiness and your guidance when I needed it, and your example. And I'm quite the message about your commitments and the effect they had on your practice are very inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shoketsu, does your head still feel like it's going to explode?
No, not so much.
You got it all straightened down? Now, if you do, then we need to talk.
I mean, if I do have it all straightened out? Yeah, there are times it still feels that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel much better now.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy our reading group. It's fun.
Yeah.
And I'm less intimidated by it than I used to be. So.
And I just want to say one thing is during Sesshin this year, your name, Shoketsu, when first you got that name, I was wondering, like, strong voice. She has the gentlest voice that I know. You were so soft-spoken, and then she gave you the name Strong Voice. I saw that at Sesshin, though. I saw the strength with which you operated, and you just knew the needs of everything. That's where I saw that your name was really appropriate.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually excellent voice, right? Not really strong.
Well, but one of the meanings, too, is outstanding,
mm-hmm.
which is...
Yeah, I've struggled to lose my voice for many years, taking voice lessons and all that. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you for that. It was really lovely and awe-inspiring.
Thank you.
That's it.
Yes.
You mentioned that you went into an MBA program in part to reconcile your more humanistic background with being in high tech. Did you ever reconcile them?
Well, I understood. I got a good understanding of why business is the way it is, and that it's about the bottom line and profit. And you know, I went into it thinking, well, it's all about people, and how do we develop people? And you know, that was my orientation, so I backed off of that, unfortunately. after the MBA. It was more like managing people to do this or do that, and, you know, encouraging them as well, but kind of reconciled it. I still, if I had it to pick today, I still pick, I think, teaching rather than high tech. I enjoyed the writing, though.
Thank you.
You're just making me think of my mom, who went, she went into organizational communication. She got her master's in, and she worked for Prudential, then Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, and primarily as a manager. And I just think, again, she's retired now, and I just think there's probably, if you looked back in her life, and I'm guessing there probably is for you too, these people that were you're managing to do these tasks were probably also touched, you know, by that extra piece that you have of wanting to take care of them. I just think sometimes it'd be really sweet if you could go back and get the stories of all the people that you touched.
There's one person.
There's quite a few back there that would go like, I was supportive and kind, you encouraged me, and you know.
I remember when I first was appointed manager, that's when I really started reading Lao Tzu. So, you know, what is leadership? What is, you know, leadership? If people lead you rather than you leading them. But thank you.
So, first, all I coaches about everything you everyone said, thank you very much. I'm interested in your thoughts about the Tao and Zen, the Tao Ching. Is that still viewed as input to you, and do you see it as?
I don't really read it anymore. So input to me, it was an influence, an early influence. I mean, not early, midlife influence for me. It was something I was attracted to. I don't know, I remember when I took Jukai, I think, I brought the Tao Te Ching to the, that was my item that I put on the altar. And I forget what you said about it, Domio. You said something like, well, it's not something.
I can't remember.
You don't remember?
Because it's been a significant thing for me and still continues to be. So. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier on in your searching a couple of female, I don't know who they were, but the one was an arrow carrier, the strength of those images, they were, do you know what I'm talking about?
Artemis is the Greek goddess, and in the a Roman version of her is named Diana,
okay,
the archer, the hunter. She's very strong.
And do you have a similar image of someone standing by you now?
Oh, it's definitely Kanzeon, as you'd said, yeah. She's on my altar at home, and Yeah, it's not quite the same as it was before. I mean, I use loving kindness when I'm needing strength, that kind of thing, more than having an image of Kanzeon, but I don't know if that helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's there in me.
Can you say something more about that process of, I don't know, being able to stand by Sarah and not suffer? Like, what previously kind of lead you to suffer and that you might have been able to kind of let go of?
Well, seeing her in distress and in pain and emotional pain, mental pain has been excruciating. She has said, and her dad has said, and you know, other people have said, it's not really your fault that Sarah has this set of disabilities. And it's not because she was sent away. So I've had to work through that, you know, not feeling guilty, but as far as today, she would call frequently over the last few years when she was distressed, like caught stuck at Fred Meyer, not being able to take her groceries home because there are people walking around in high heels. I mean, this really stops her. It really. So I had to get through the embarrassment of that for me, and I guess a little bit of shame at that, but more embarrassment, and you know, trying to, if I was with her, you know, Sarah, come on, let's go, you know, let's go away, let's get out of sight, which she does want me to do. And then she said, why didn't you help me? And she would, she sort of coached me, but just hold me. And that helps. Now I can just do that sometimes when she's really melting down. I can just do that now. So it's really, it's been interactive. She's coached me to help her. And if I don't do it right, she calls me on it. I mean, she's an adult. She's a late 30s, so she's definitely an adult, for sure. I mean.
Well, it strikes me, too, that the, you know, that piece, I would call the equanimity of the four Brahma Viharas, you know, obviously you have the goodwill. And when the goodwill sees somebody suffering, then there's this compassion. But without the fourth Brahma Vihara of some equanimity, the compassion can be not helpful. You know, it's you do suffer with, and then it's some measure of equanimity and groundedness that lets us actually be more compassionate.
Yes, and as the years have gone on, I've been able, this past year in particular, I've been able to, I don't need coaching as much anymore. I just know, you know, how to be with her. And that helps. And definitely the Dharma has helped me with that. Yes?
What's a practice question that you would want to share with us that you have right now?
A practice question?
Yeah, is there a question or a matter of investigation that you have currently?
How can I continue to feel that equanimity with my family, not only my daughter but my husband, who was, could have been a whole paragraph, but I chose not to talk about it. He's a very different type of person than I am, and we clash sometimes. So I do need help with that. So how can I get stronger? That kind of thing.
When you talk about what's coming, I mean, you've been shuzo, and is that an end, or is there a baton you hand off? And like, what is it, an accomplishment? How are you seeing this?
Do you flee screaming?
Are you reading?
Yeah, I flee screaming. No, I'm happy that it's been a job. It's really felt like a job, a joyous job, but a job. Thanks. So I'm happy to hand it off to the next person. We're not 100% sure who the next person will be, but we're thinking about it. And so I will, there should be a gentle handoff. The next person. I think Domeo has enjoyed having one in this role.
and this is just a warm up, because March 3rd is the Shuzo Hosen ceremony. So I don't know, who here has been to a Shuzo Hosen ceremony? Most of you have not.
Can you speak more about it?
So it'll be on a Sunday. In place of the talk. And like I was describing Mondo, I mean, essentially that Mondo's inspired by this Hosen ceremony. So between now and then, Shoketsu will pick a verse from one of our main teachings, probably from the chant book, so it's something people are familiar with, and then that she has some kind of relationship with, and that she will be presenting that verse and taking questions from all of us. So my teachers called it prodding the loaf. You take the loaf of bread out of the oven and you're kind of thumping it to see if it's done. So it's a testing. But like with Mondo, when we ask questions, we're not testing to prove somebody, they don't fail. We're testing to see, who are you? What is your understanding? How have you grown? So it's that thing. It's kind of like martial arts testing, where you're helping each other grow through that testing. So yeah, there's ceremony, there's processing up and down, and bows, and all kinds of stuff, and then basically the essence of it is that presentation of that verse. And then apparently, and I didn't know this, I mean, I did know it, but I didn't absorb the fact. I was talking to Sato, who's the teacher down in Eugene, one of the teachers down in Eugene, but she has a Zen center in Eugene, and she just went through her first Shuzo Hosen just a couple weeks ago. And the teacher sits in the middle of the room, completely silently, from beginning to end. So the teacher keeps their eyes downcast, so the teacher is not giving any kind of feedback, like that's good, that's not, the teacher is letting it all unfold, which is that sounds really hard. And then at the end, there's, the shuso goes up and the teacher says whether the shuso has passed or not. Mm.
Do they ever knock us?
I have never seen a shuso not pass. That would be so brutal.
Yeah,
you didn't pass. Pretty brutal.
I'm sure in Japan they surely would have, you didn't pass.
I think in Japan, you would not be going into the hosen if you weren't going to pass.
Yeah.
That something else would be happening.
I hadn't heard the word shosu. Is that like assistant, or is it more of a being? What is it exactly?
It means essentially chief student. So yeah, and so actually the for a monasteries always have a shuso, Zen monasteries, and the tradition goes back to to the 1100s in China at least, and so this chief student is just they're like the model student. So if you're wondering what you should do, then you look over at the shuso, or if you you know, left your card like that, then the CISO would come over and just say, right there, you know, and they help like organize the retreats and, you know, hand out work assignments when we're at retreat, and so there's a practical aspect to it as well. And so it's, when I was first CISO, it's like all of us, you know, we're just kind of, it's very horizontal, we're all just peers, we're all just doing our own practice, and then suddenly we're kind of thrust into this visible position. Which, it's a very tricky thing as well, because it really doesn't come with any authority. So you're visible, you're responsible, and you really don't have any particular rank or authority. So it's like, you know, navigating that can be a tricky thing. To how to treat the people in the Zendo with, you know, they have a sense that things are under control,
mm-hmm.
and so they can relax, but not too much under control, and they're being like watched and harassed, you know, so it's a tricky thing. But.
Which you did very well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful for me to have, it was a treat to be coming here on Tuesdays and Sundays, and for the most part, in the last year, Choquette has come to every single Tuesday and Sunday. If she's not going to come, she lets me know, and she arrives early. So, like, I'm not arriving, and it's all on me. Like, somebody else is. I mean, I have openers and stuff, which is awesome, too, but the CISO is kind of like anything that might happen, right? If there was an overflowing toilet, if the opener doesn't show up, whatever. That if, you know, somebody else taking responsibility at that
point. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. And this was our first We Seeking Mind talk, but as I said in the newsletter, not the last.
Okay.
So in general, if you're curious about these kinds of things, like who ends up being CISO, who ends up being asked to be on the board, who ends up being asked to do a talk, in Zen communities, it all goes by seniority. So I have a list, and the people who've taken Jukai, like, are at the top of that list, and then it all just goes by the day you join as a member. So, and it goes by the day you take Jukai. So it's kind of like, it'll all...
Somebody asked, what is Jukai?
That's taking the precepts and formally becoming a Buddhist, which is something we'll be doing in a few... We'll be starting the precept study and Jukai's in May, the ceremony to be held. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So the volunteers can just be...